to judge, and on the basis of their judgment, they reward and punish. Think that way and you support violence on our planet. Use punishment if you want to make a worse world. Punish children, support governments that punish criminals. Now, you'll never use punishment. You never would use punishment if you ask yourself two questions. Unfortunately, we don't ask ourselves these questions. What are the two questions that I think are very critical? If somebody's behaving in a way you don't like, ask yourself this question: what would I like this person to do differently? Now, if you ask only that question, it can trick you into thinking punishment sometimes works. Because sometimes you can probably think of when you have been able to influence people to do what you want through the use of punishment or the threat of punishment. But ask yourself a second question and you will see that punishment never works. What is this important second question? What would you like the other person's reasons to be for behaving as you would like them to behave? You see, if you ask that question, I'm confident you will see that punishment never works. But see, we've been taught that people are basically evil and selfish, and so therefore the corrective process is, if you want to make peace, you have to make them penitent. Penitent, you see. And how do you do that? You use the language of jackal. That's where I got these ears. See, I use the word jackal as a symbol for language that contributes to violence on our planet. So let me show you how jackal works. I'm sure you've banned this language in your church, but just in case you should ever hear somebody who speaks jackal, you need to be prepared for it. So let me see, where I grew up in Detroit, here's how jackal works. If you're a parent, and you have a child, you see, that doesn't do what you like, you see. If you speak jackal and you are a peace breaker and you want to make sure that you have violence on the planet, you even use violence with your children. So if this child does something I don't like, watch how you correct the child. Now, if you're afraid of violence, don't watch this. Say you're sorry!
I'm sorry.
No, you're not really sorry. I can see you're not really sorry. See, this whole game depends on judging whether the person has suffered enough for their sins. It's called penitence. Are they sufficiently penitent to be forgiven, you see? So you have to make, and I'm a parent, I don't think so. I think this crime deserves more suffering. So I say, you're not really sorry.
I'm sorry.
Now I'm judging, you see, has the child suffered enough? It's just like arguing whether how many months in prison does a person deserve, you see, as though that's going to solve something. Okay, I forgive you, you see. What a violent game. So if you like peace breaking, use punishment, you see. Use punishment. Blame people when they do what you don't like. I'm good at this blame game. I learned peace breaking. That's why when you invited me here and I thought you wanted me to talk about peace breaking, I felt great. Finally, I'm asked to speak about something I know how to do. For example, where I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, if somebody's driving in a way you don't like, you see, and you want to use the kind of justice that we use in our society, you put these ears on and you judge them, you see, and you make them penitent. Now, how do you do that? You roll down the window and you say something like this: idiot! If they're driving in a way you don't like, you have to educate people by making them penitent, you see. So you have to tell them what's wrong with them. It never worked for me. No matter how many times I told people what idiots they were for driving as they did, they never said, I'm sorry. So I thought maybe it had something to do with the particular slang I learned in Detroit. So to get some culture, I went to the university and got a doctor's degree in professional jackal. I think, as I recall, it's been a few years now, I think it was called clinical psychology. So now I'm not so primitive as to, you know, use the language I used to use. Now if somebody's driving in a way I don't like, I roll down the window, psychopath! So if you're interested in peace breaking and you want to contribute to violence on the planet, then put these ears on and think of what is wrong with people. Use a language of criticism, blame, when people do what you don't like. But you want to be even more violent? Not only use punishment, use rewards. Use rewards to try to manipulate people to get to do what you want. And you want to be really cruel? Use praise and compliments as rewards to get people to do what you want. Not only use judgments that tell people what's wrong with them when they do what you don't like. Use compliments to get them to do what you do like, you see. Teachers and parents that I work with tell me they've gone to courses that teach them that you need to reward and punish people by, you need to reward people rather by giving them praise and compliments. Research shows that if you do, students work harder. Workers work harder if they're given praise and compliments daily. When I work with people who say that, I say, take another look at the research. You'll see that it only works for a short time until people see the praise and the compliments are used as manipulations. And then you'll see it no longer works. But worse than that, it destroys the beauty of sincere gratitude when we use rewards, and especially to take something as beautiful as sincere gratitude and turn it into a manipulation by expressing it as praise and compliments. So, those are some of the lessons I give you this evening on peace breaking. Criticize, blame, use punishment, use rewards, but if you really want to break peace on the planet and make life miserable for yourself, use Amtssprache. Amtssprache. That's a German phrase. I borrow it from the Nazi war criminal Adolf Eichmann. At his trial for war crimes in Jerusalem, Eichmann was asked, was it difficult for you to send tens of thousands of people off to their death? Eichmann answered very honestly. He said, to tell you the truth, it was easy. Our language made it easy. Boy, that shocked his interviewer, and his interviewer said, what language? Eichmann said, my fellow Nazi officers and I, we had our own name for our language. We called it Amtssprache. Amt in German means office. Sprache means language. So it means bureaucratic language. It's a language in which you deny responsibility for your actions, in which you imply that you have no choice but to do what you're doing. Eichmann was asked for some examples of Amtssprache. He says, if you're asked why you sent these thousands of people off, you say, I had to. I hope you've banned those words in your church, have you? Had to? If you haven't, please do. What could be more violent than a language that implies that we have no choice? Should. There's another one. Ought, must, can't, Amtssprache. Why do you have to? Superior's orders, company policy. It's the law. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous language. So if you like peace breaking, speak Amtssprache. Use a language in which you have no, you imply you have no choice. I was saying that in St. Louis, Missouri one time to a group of parents and teachers, and boy, did a mother get angry at me, as many people do around the world when I suggest that Amtssprache is a very dangerous language. And if you want to break peace, deny responsibility for your actions. And this mother got very upset with me. And she spoke some perfect Amtssprache to me. She said, but there are some things you have to do whether you like to do it or not. And it's our job as parents and teachers to teach our children that they have to do some things, whether they like to do it or not. I said, could you give me an example of what's one of these things that you have no choice about? Oh, there's so many. Okay, I'll give you one right now. I hate to cook. I hate it with a passion. But I have cooked every day for 20 years, even when I've been sick as a dog. Because there just are some things you have to do. I told her I was very sad to hear that, and I really was. I'm sad to hear anybody do anything one time out of that kind of energy, let alone every day of their life. So I said I was hoping I could teach her some nonviolent communication, because I really believe that that would open up some happier possibilities. I'm pleased to announce she was a rapid, rapid student. She went home that very evening and announced to her family she no longer wanted to cook. I got some feedback from her family. The feedback took the form of two of her sons came to an evening workshop like this 2 weeks later. They came up ahead of time to talk to me and introduce themselves. And I said, hey, am I glad you guys came up? I'm so curious what's happening in your house. Your mother's been calling me about every other day, telling me about the major change she's made in her life since the workshop. And I'm always wondering what happens to a family when one family member comes home a little weird. Like, what was it like that first night when she came home and announced that she no longer wanted to cook? The oldest son, John, said to me, Marshall, I said to myself, thank God. I said, how did you come to that? He said, I said to myself, now maybe she won't complain at every meal. So if you want to make life miserable for yourself and break peace within yourself, between yourself and family members, tell people what they have to do. Use the word should. That's the best advice I can give you on how to destroy peace in yourself and others. But of course I'm kidding, you know that. I know that you really wanted me to come tonight not to tell you how to break peace. You wanted me to show you how to make peace. So let me get on to that. That's what nonviolent communication is. But nonviolent communication requires some technology, which I'm going to show you how to use this evening. If you want to make peace, this is the best technology I can suggest. Giraffe ears. This is wonderful technology. Because with this technology, no matter what people say to you, no matter how they speak, you can hear no criticism. You can hear no blame. You can't hear the word no. You can't hear silence. Because with these ears on, the other person cannot not communicate a language of life. With these ears, you connect with what's alive in people, no matter how they speak, you see? Let me show you what I mean. Those of you who have read my book, or those of you who will read it, you'll see in there, I was in a refugee camp in the Middle East, and I was being introduced by my interpreter. And while my interpreter announced that I was from the United States, I got a free diagnosis. Isn't that wonderful? A free diagnosis. You go to a psychiatrist to find out what's wrong with you, it'll cost you a lot of money. Right away, as soon as he heard that I was from the United States, I got a free diagnosis. Here's what he said. Murderer! Some other people in the group shared similar diagnoses of me. Another one said, child killer! Another one said, assassin! Boy, was I glad I had my giraffe ears on. Was I glad I had my giraffe ears on. Because see, at the moment these ears go on, you can hear no criticism. You can hear no blame.